Thank you for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. My name is Matt Costella, director of the Fundamental Evangelistic Association, headquartered at the Grace Bible Church in Fresno, California. Our hope and prayer is that this brief program will encourage you in the things of the Lord and direct your attention to God's Word as you seek to make sense of the world in which you find yourself today. In this episode of FEA Today, we want to take the time to consider emotions. The fact that so often we have a tendency as believers to think and act according to our emotions, and maybe why that could be and sometimes is such a problem for us. The idea of emotions basically sums up what one is feeling. We can have all kinds of emotions because we can have all kinds of feelings. In a spiritual or theological sense, however, the concept of our emotions or emotionalism entails basing one's decisions upon emotion and feeling. It entails being led or controlled by emotion, that is, how one feels, rather than fact or knowledge, that is, what one thinks or knows to be true. I want to consider several problems of emotionalism or making decisions based upon our emotions alone. Four particular problems. You know, many Christians today are making spiritual decisions based upon how they feel rather than what they know to be true. I think that's true in the grand scheme of things, like choosing a church, what church one should attend, or who one should marry for life. But it's true in the grand scheme of things, those big decisions, as well as in the daily routines of life, like whether or not we should take the time to attend church on a particular day, or take the time to study God's word or pray. You know, people have a natural tendency to look for excitement or drama. People often want to feel something. So what's the problem by living according to our emotions? What's the problem of emotionalism? Well, first of all, we have to understand as believers, emotions cannot be trusted. We have to understand that the way we do feel does not always translate into the way we should feel. As sinful human beings, we have a natural tendency to exhibit certain emotions like worry, even though God tells us that He is in complete control of all things. We have a tendency to feel lust, even though God tells us that to do so can be sin or sinful. We have a tendency to feel despair, even though our focus on God should bring joy to our lives. We have the tendency to have the emotion of hate or anger oftentimes, even though to do so is toxic in our relationships with others. We can even have the emotion of envy or covetousness or jealousy, even though God declares in His Word that covetousness or envy is idolatry in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. And the point is this, we cannot trust our emotions because they can and will betray us at times. The second problem in relation to emotionalism or living by our emotions is that emotions are relative to each person. While truth is objective, feelings are subjective. One person might want to feel high, while another person might enjoy feeling low. The person who wants a high might look for a church that gives an upbeat feeling, while, for instance, a person who wants a low might look for a church that is contemplative and quiet. So the right fit in this kind of instance is not determined by truth, but by the individual and his or her feelings and emotional desires. That's the second problem of emotionalism, is emotions are relative, whereas truth is objective. The third problem of emotionalism or living according to our emotions is that our emotions can lead us to actually do the opposite of God's will, what God desires of us. Regardless of whether such emotion is a feeling of good or a feeling of bad, consider just a few of the multitude of biblical examples that we find in the Word of God of one's emotions actually leading an individual to do the opposite of God's will. First of all, Eve and the forbidden fruit back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Think about that. Eve knew what God had commanded. She knew the truth, yet she wanted the high of the aesthetic enjoyment of the fruit, the look and the taste, as well as wanting the feeling of power that is knowledge. And of course, those feelings led Eve to do something the opposite of what God made clear to her. Think of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Cain was full of anger and hatred toward Abel, even though we find from Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, Cain knew exactly what was right, and he knew what was pleasing to God. His emotions betrayed him. Think about Joseph's brothers in Genesis chapter 37. They had feelings of hatred and jealousy toward Joseph because their father favored Joseph. That in turn led them to sell Joseph into slavery, although they knew that to do so was wrong, but these feelings of hatred and jealousy betrayed them. We can go to Numbers chapter 20 and think of Moses and the rock. Here, the children of Israel were murmuring and complaining, and rather than obey God's commands, Moses' feeling of anger and frustration led him to demonstrate a lack of obedience and faith. We think of Elijah in the minority back in 1 Kings chapter 19 after that great victory on Mount Carmel. Elijah felt lonely and depressed as Jezebel sought his life. He felt as though he was the only prophet of God left. And what's God's response to Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? 1 Kings 19, 9, 13. Get back to work doing what I've called you to do. You are not alone. Once again, Elijah's emotions led him to do the opposite of what God desired that he should do. We think of Solomon, King Solomon, in his quest for happiness and wisdom and satisfaction in life and the meaning of life in Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. Here was the wisest man who ever lived, who sought every positive emotion possible to bring joy and satisfaction. Yet Solomon discovered that apart from the fear and knowledge of God, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Think about the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 20 and verses 7, 8, and 9. Jeremiah was depressed. The message Jeremiah proclaimed to God's people was not well received, even to the point that Jeremiah did not feel like proclaiming it anymore at all. All he wanted to do was to quit. Yet God made it clear when he called Jeremiah that he called him and he would be with him. But again, Jeremiah's emotions were not in tune with what he knew to be the right thing to do. Of course, we always think of Jonah and the Ninevites in this situation as well. Jonah's hatred of the Assyrians and his negative feelings towards God's mercy caused Jonah to clearly disobey God's call. And notice that it was ultimately Jonah's feelings toward the Assyrians, as well as his faith in God, that led to the whole mess in which he found himself. His emotion of anger and hatred for a certain people led him to do the opposite. He chose to do the opposite of what God desired because of these emotions. And of course, we can go to the New Testament and think of the Apostle Peter. And I often think of Peter and his words, Peter and his mouth. Matthew chapter 16, John chapter 18. You know, sometimes it was Peter's feelings of affection for Jesus, we find in Matthew 16, and sometimes it was his feelings of fear for his life, John chapter 18, that led Peter to say things that were in direct contradiction to truth. Yet regardless of the emotion, Peter got himself into trouble when he acted on emotion rather than truth. So we consider then the fact that emotions can actually harm one's spiritual growth. The problem of emotionalism is clear. They can't be trusted. They're relative to each person rather than subjective and based on truth, and they can lead one to actually do the opposite of God's will. So they can harm one's spiritual growth. You see, the problem is this. If we're looking for a feeling, or if we are taking action based upon a feeling, then we absolutely cannot be certain that the end product will be good for us or glorifying to God. Again, I mentioned this before, so many people today are looking for a feeling when looking for a church. So many people today are taking actions or refusing to act based upon their feelings or emotions rather than upon the objective truth of God as revealed to us in His Word, the objective truth. So what should be our biblical response then to our emotions, or this reality of emotionalism in the life, we want to consider three things. Number one, realize that emotions are not inherently evil. God is a person with emotion, and he created us in his image. Emotion in itself is not bad or wrong. We find in Scripture, God demonstrates grief. He demonstrates anger at the right things. He demonstrates joy or pleasure. This is a fact. All our emotions, including anger, have their place in the plan and timing of God. And we find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's interesting to note that the only perfect person to have ever lived, that is Jesus, has given us a record of a portion of his life. And within that record, we find many different emotions. We find Jesus sad. We find him angry. We find him rejoicing. So we have to understand emotions are not inherently wrong or evil. Number two, we have to understand, though, that our emotions have been affected by the fall. Why can't we trust our emotions? We can't trust our emotions because sin has entered the picture of human existence. We have seen from Scripture time and again that believers have ensnared themselves by following and trusting their feelings or their emotions when such emotions conflicted with the truth. So what should we do? We have to grasp the fact as believers today that our basis for making choices must center on knowledge or truth rather than emotion or feeling. We know for a fact that our very salvation from sin is based upon knowledge. It's not based upon emotion. It's based upon knowledge. Sometimes we don't feel saved, but that doesn't have any bearing upon whether or not we truly are saved. The Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, "This is the record: God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It really is that black and white. Our salvation isn't based upon our feelings or our emotion, but our knowledge of the fact that we have placed our faith, our trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ for our eternal well-being. Subsequently, all aspects of our Christian walk are based upon knowledge, not our emotion and not our feelings. Let's consider some texts. Colossians 2, 6, and 7, we read, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." You see, our walk as a believer is to continue on a foundation of being rooted and grounded and established in the faith. The revealed body of truth, that is God's word, is our basis for all that we do as believers, and we must understand that. Not our feelings or our emotions, the body of truth, and our trust, our faith in the Word of God. Over in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Because what we see and have now is not all there is, we have to walk in this life in a manner that is steadfast and unmovable, as we're always abounding in the work of the Lord, whether we like it or not. We could go over to Ephesians chapter 4. We don't have the time to read this text, but Ephesians chapter 4, if you begin reading in verse 17 all the way down to verse 24, we find that this text, in essence, commands believers to not walk according to the old man. That is, who we were prior to our salvation, because that kind of walk is marked by selfishness and greed and sensuality and all these other things. In other words, we used to live according to the desires of our flesh, and yet on the contrary, now we are to walk according, verse 21, as the truth is in Jesus, which entails putting on the new man. It's interesting to note that we could come up with many, many texts that exhort us to faithfulness to the truth, but no text of Scripture can be found that address our need to follow our emotions when it comes to our spirituality or Christian lives. Yet believers have found a way. They blame their feelings and their actions or the Holy Spirit far too often. We have to be careful to avoid that at all cost. You see, the ultimate goal is to have emotion match truth. It's great to feel good, but make sure such feeling is wrapped up in the glory of God. Live according to truth, not your feelings or your emotions. I thank you so much for joining us for this episode of FEA Today. Until the next time, may the Lord continue to bless you.